nobody brings Philadelphia fans closer together like the Green Legion. From tailgates in South Philly to invading enemy territory, this group is home to the true Philadelphia sports fan. Now, their party hits the airwaves. Quimby, Michael Diaz, Chris Sacks, Slash, Super Sam, and legendary wide receiver Irving Fryer always keep the conversation going. So crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
All right, everybody, the Green Legion Radio Players Show from a live casino here in South Philadelphia. My God, it is a fantastic time to be a Philly sports fan. We are joined alongside legendary wide receiver, Mr. Irving, the Reverend, the Dr. Irving Fryer, host of your Philadelphia Eagles Insider podcast, Mr. Dave Spadaro.
Hello, hello. Sports.
Host of the Big Time Baseball Brunch with Greg Murphy, Mr. Chris Sack.
Sack.
Sack Master. Sack Attack. Reggie.
There he is.
Super Sam is on the show. On StreamYard.
Say hi. Sam's
a little pissed off about row two right now, but you know, she'd be happy with that at a World Series. And of course, our producer finally back after there'd be a lot of things I could say, but I'm not going to do it with present company. But apparently, you know, you had a great vacation.
Great vacation, yeah.
All right, where'd you go?
I went to Alabama. Didn't we joke around about Herb going to Atlanta for vacation? Can you really consider Alabama vacation?
For all the golf fans out there?
If you're golfing, yes indeed.
Robert Trent Jones courses,
yep.
Thank you, somebody knows. Yep.
Did you go to Greenbow, Alabama?
No, I went to Birmingham.
I like Birmingham.
Thank you, Spuds.
I'm with you, buddy.
Thank
you.
We're good.
Courses are hard as hell out there.
He's just above the gump line. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
We got it. And everybody joining us for the second year in a row, Eagles offensive lineman, both tackle and guard, Mr. Jack Driscoll.
Yeah.
Look how fresh he's looking off the bye week.
Yeah,
you know, got some sleep. He looks great. Got a haircut. Looking good, man.
Jack, I'm tired of the ladies around here coming up and talking about you. But I got to be honest with you. I was not around last year when you came on the show for the first time. And I just shook your hand, and I would not want to go up against you.
I appreciate it.
Hey, no, it still kind of hurts a little bit. I'll send you the bill. But
okay. It's not from shaking his hand.
Oh, man.
He's all rested after beating up on Micah Parsons. And the Dallas Cowboys
that
weekend, ready to go against the Steelers on
Lonely
Sunday.
Nights for Quimby and DR.
Beautiful.
He's in ready mode. Yeah.
Everybody,
ready mode.
He has to be.
Yes.
Right?
You have to be.
And that's like Jack's MO, right? Like a Boy Scout, you were always at the ready.
Yep.
And we are going to get to that in just a minute. But before that, let's get to the business. Make sure you download the iHeartRadio app, everybody. We are on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM and 1480 AM. But you can rate, review, download, and subscribe to Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports The Gambler, Philadelphia. The show tonight and always is brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Everybody, the first 100 Bud Lights are on us. All you have to do is say you're with Green Legion Radio at the bar, and the first 100 Bud Lights are on us tonight. Make sure you support Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Seltzer, Stateside Vodka, and Stateside Bourbon Diaz. Dave Bavuso, State Farm, Greater Philadelphia Health Action, Bucks County Baseball Company, Premier Window Cleaning, the Ludlam Bar and Grill, formerly La Costa in Seattle City, the beautiful ladies over at Cheerleaders, Echelon Health and Fitness across the bridge, soon as well to be Echelon Health and Fitness in Audubon, New Jersey, and Advantage Health Plus coming on soon. You guys, we are going to talk football. We're going to talk Jack Driscoll. Can't wait to get to know him a little bit better. But if I don't give Sack 2 minutes worth of Philadelphia Phillies commentary right now, yeah, exactly. Slash knows exactly
back
what's
up.
Going on.
Yeah, back up.
Hey, Sack, time's yours.
Yo! Like you said in the open, Quimby, what a time to be alive, to be a Philadelphia sports fan right now. This past weekend at Citizens Bank Park, the three games that that were experienced over there this past weekend during the National League Championship Series. I was lucky enough to be there for Friday and for Sunday for the clincher. I was expressing this to Dave and Sam earlier. I would be remiss to not think about how we got here. The last four Septembers where they have faded down the stretch. How 2 years ago you couldn't even get into the ballpark to watch a game with COVID. I kind of looked at some of my personal issues a couple years ago.
Hold on, I gave you two minutes. We don't have enough time for that.
No, I'm just saying with getting COVID and the blood clots and then almost losing my dad at the beginning of this year. And then, you know, having that hug with my dad after the game was over, and my dad thanking me for reinvigorating his passion and his love for the Phillies and for sports. That's what sports is all about. That's why it means so much to us here in Philadelphia, for us to witness that and experience that and to be in that moment in time. It was truly one of the most special nights of my life. I have two children, and I married a beautiful wife. That was one of the greatest things I've ever gotten to experience at a sporting event, and I can't speak any highly about this. I will say this right here, right now. I predict it a couple weeks ago. I said Phillies in five in the NLCS. Well, guess what? Bang. Put that one to bank. The Phillies are going to win this series, and Quimby just said that he has tickets for game six. Quimby, Phillies in six. They will beat the Houston Astros at Minute Maid Park. Next Friday night, I will be somewhere in Georgia on my way to Disney World with my wife and my kids, and I will be
stopping by in Greenbow, Alabama.
I might stop by through there. But Phillies in six, we are not losing this series. This team is too hot. They are the team of destiny, and they will bring down the Houston Astros.
Dave, nice.
Did it in 151.
We can end the show right now.
Zach, I mean, honestly, like, beautiful, beautiful opening monologue, and it does mean a lot to the Philadelphia sports fans. That, my two takeaways are, I don't ever want to hear a fan say, oh,
I don't care about getting into the playoffs. The team stinks. You're going to lose in the first round.
Wow, thanks. Hi, Dave. I write your check.
You got to get in, right? And then number two, Zach, it means so much, right, to your family, generations of families. And I think that's what separates sports in Philadelphia from other cities. It is such a family generation tradition. Event. We live and breathe sports in the city for real, right? And you feel it, like,
absolutely.
Being in the city, living in Center City right now, it's amazing. With the success that the Eagles have had, with the Phillies playoff success here, you know, crime is down, the news is happy, people are walking around with a bounce, people are out celebrating. It's great for the economy. Sports matters, people. Jump on board.
I gotta tell you guys a great story as well. As most of you know, we just got back from the bye week bender with the Green Legion.
Yep. Perfect timing.
While we were in Punta Cana on a weekend where we don't have to worry about Philly sports.
You knew the Flyers were playing this weekend.
I know. Everybody cares about them. But,
better than the Sixers.
We watched every game at Stryker's Sports Bar at the Marcelo Bavaro Palace.
It's a great spot, too.
And we didn't turn every Dominican onto our side, but most of them, but the entire staff. I mean, Dave, and Zach, I'm piggybacking on what you're saying. Sports transcends culture, economic,
politics,
yeah,
everything.
It's the one thing that we can all grasp, and it's the one thing that we can all talk about, regardless of education, where you work,
right wing, left wing.
We can always, everybody can always stand around a water cooler and talk about sports, especially their own team. And man, it's been a long road. I got to tell you, watching the Phillies win three games in Punta Cana, as other people that were down from Philly that didn't know that we had 60 people. By the way, props to Tom Patterson and Alexis Waschkel, who were down there with us, just got off the plane with myself and Sam about 2.5 hours ago, and right back here at, special
troopers,
place.
Troopers.
Special place.
Party troopers.
But then having them finish off and clinch and a trip to the World Series. When Harper smacked that nut, man, it was, it's just,
it's fate.
Well,
how do you not go to Josh Hader? that was the most flabbergasting part of the whole entire situation.
Anyway, yeah, I get it. And
how hard does Harper swing? I mean, my goodness.
Violent.
Yes.
Violent.
Attacks the ball.
Chop a tree down with that thing.
Yes, sir.
But, as we all know, and the Live Casino, oh, by the way, our friends from Live Casino Dining and Entertainment are also here today. It's their quarterly corporate meeting when everybody pretends to like Doug. Where is he?
And it's good dining, too.
It's excellent. I'm tired of smelling this food over here, by the way.
There might be leftovers.
Yep, we might be. Jack, you got to get the calories up right now, yeah? You guys, we are a football program, and this is the Green Legion Radio Players Show. Once again, welcome Jack Driscoll to the show. Yeah, give it.
The great Jack Driscoll.
The great, the extremely flexible Jack Driscoll can move from guard to tackle. That's pretty impressive. We're going to get to that as well.
I was wondering how you knew he was flexible. And then you elaborate it.
That kind of flexible.
We knew somebody.
Sorry, Jack. I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize now. All right.
Jack knows what he got himself into here.
6'5", 313 pounds. Started college at UMass after turning down an offer from Army. How was that supposed to work? We're gonna talk about your life here and your college, your pro, everything going up. I'm curious. You had an offer from Army. What did that entail? Like, you have to go ROTC. What was the deal there?
Yeah, you know, ultimately those were my two Division I offers, were UMass and Auburn, and UMass and Army. And ultimately, if I would have went to West Point, you know, you got to do your time in the service. I'm pretty sure it's 5 years, but don't quote me on
five
that.
5 years.
Yeah, that's what it was at the time. It was 5 years in the service. Wow. And at that point in my life, I just wasn't ready to make that commitment. It wasn't sure that that was what I wanted. So, you know, UMass gave me an opportunity to play, to achieve my goal and play Division I level. I really appreciate Coach Whipple. And, you know, he ran a true pro-style offense. So that was something, too, that was appealing. And, it was a great opportunity.
Mark Whipple, former Eagles coach. Yep. Did you think at that point, Jack, that, like, did the idea of playing in the NFL enter your mind at all?
You know, it had always been like my dream. You know, when I committed, I was actually a tight end. You know, I was 6'4", 245. So, you know, it took a lot of work to get up to 295 ultimately when I started playing as a redshirt freshman. But, you know, it was always my goal. I just knew if I worked hard and did, each day just got a little bit better, that I put myself in an opportunity, you know.
Dave, that's a great question, because I'm curious about the transfer to Auburn. Obviously, a much more visible program, SEC. After your first 2 years, well, 3 years,
yep,
at UMass, you had your graduate year availability. Talk about the recruitment from Auburn. How did all of that transcend? And was it after your third season at UMass that you said, hey, you know, I have a legitimate shot of making it to the NFL here? These are great stories people want to hear.
Yeah, so I redshirted, and then I started for 2 years at UMass, and I was able to graduate in 3 years, so I actually had 2 years of eligibility left.
Jesus, will you stop bringing the smart people on the show? Yeah, Trey Sermon graduated in 3 years. He was our guest last week.
Eagles, ain't no dumb teams in the NFL 6-0.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody could be like Quimby and be 16 and go to Drexel.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that anymore.
Hard act to follow.
Yeah. Jack, please.
So I just, I graduated, and I just wanted to, test myself against the best. You know, I felt like I had good tape. I had fulfilled my academic requirements at UMass and just kind of wanted to try something different. I'd been in the Northeast my whole life, you know, growing up in Connecticut, going to UMass for my first 3 years. Kind of want to take a step outside my comfort zone and just go, you know, like I said, compete against the best every week.
You know, as you and Irv know better than anybody, getting to the NFL, everybody's talented. And a lot of it really depends on how you're taught, the way you're coached, the technique that you're taught. Did you find that the level of coaching from UMass to Auburn was like a significant jump, that your game really got better because you got much better coaching at the SEC level rather than at the UMass level?
You know, we had great coaches when I was at UMass. You know, I was fortunate to play for Coach Whipple, you know, who coached in the NFL, who's coached at a lot of big-time programs, currently the offensive coordinator at Nebraska. So I benefited from that. You know, he put together a good staff, and my time at UMass had great O-line coaches, and same with at Auburn. So I felt like just for my 5 years, that each year I took a step and just ultimately helped out. You know, I think having both experience and having different types of coaches has benefited me, and being able to, you know, be coach, like, you know, just, it's different when you have different types of coaches, different regions, but it was awesome.
So you go to Auburn, you win starting position, you know, your first year, you play in every game, I believe, your 2 years there.
Yep.
Accurate.
I missed one.
You missed one.
Yeah.
Okay. Played in the East-West game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I know I'm the one that generally looks into this stuff more than most, but your Auburn bio is like disgusting, right? No, it is. So 2018 grad transfer from UMass, we're in the starting job at right tackle, started every game, at honor roll and SEC first year academic honor roll. 2019 returning starter at right tackle, 45 consecutive games, ranked 10th among current FBS offensive linemen, East-West Shrine Game. Came to Auburn as a junior, as a grad transfer from UMass. Preseason All-SEC second team. Reached the Senior Bowl watch list. Nominated for Campbell Trophy and National Football Foundation postgraduate scholarship. SEC Academic Honor Roll, National Football Foundation, Hampshire Honor Society, Cliff Hare Award winner. I mean, do you have any room left on your chest?
Yes, he's a stud.
Very modest, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're really. What I think is really interesting, Jack, is having known him for a while, like your first exposure to Jeff Stoutland. And he's got this reputation. He's like a mythical figure. And the test that he put you through, did he put you through the ankle flexibility test?
Oh, yeah.
Can you describe to everybody here, A, you know, your first exposure to Stout, and then what is the ankle flexibility test?
Yeah, no, I mean, Coach Stout is, you know, he's the best in the business, and he's, you know, really helped me become a better player. You know, he's great, and we have, you know, just, you know, the guys in our room speak for it. You know, we're having guys like Kelsey, Lane, Isaac, you know, Brooks, my rookie year, and just the talent in that room is, you know, a testament to Coach Stout. And, yeah, he loves the ankle flexibility test. Pretty much you stand against a wall, bend your knees and try to touch your toes, and he's able to, it's kind of hard to describe, he's able to test your how flexible your ankles are, which he believes is one of the key components to being a successful offensive lineman in this league.
And did you have particularly flexible ankles?
I remember doing it. I think I did a decent job.
He's like, I gotta draft that guy.
So having flexible ankles will allow you to do what as a lineman better?
Bend and not waist bend. You
bend
know,
and yeah. not waist bend.
Yeah.
Elaborate on that for people that don't know what you mean.
Yeah, so, I mean, having ankle flexion is really important because ultimately you want to be able to bend and, you know, stay upright with your chest. I got you closer.
It's okay. We got you, man.
Yeah, you know, anytime you're in a bent over position at the waist of the offensive line position, it's not good.
Right.
You know, you're going to be leaning, you're going to be off balance.
Makes sense.
So pretty much the more flexible you are your ankles, the more you can bend, the more you can be a knee bender, they call it, not a waist bender. And, you know, stay out of that position. You know, when you're in that bent over position where your shoulders and chest are over your, you know, knees and ankles, then, you know, a lot of bad things can happen. You're kind of at the mercy of the defender.
We're going to talk more about this. We got to take our first break. We're going to figure out some sound issues. We got a little feedback over here at Live Casino. But this is the Green Legion Radio Players Show from Live Casino on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia. We will be back with Aug Eagles offensive lineman Jack Driscoll right after this. Green Legion Radio Players Show. I did that specifically for you, Irv. Let me crank up your headset just a little bit more.
Turn it down, man.
I got you. We're good.
Thank you.
Too loud?
Irv is now officially 41. Deaf.
Sum 41's too loud for you?
A little fat lip for you? Everybody, Green Legion Radio Players Show on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia. No volume over on your headset? No. Well, here we go. We have some sound issues here again.
What do we got?
Nice. All right. Good radio, everybody. So, here at Live Casino, still, first 100 Bud Lights are on us. By the way, making a cameo appearance, John Dorenzi from Penn Distributors. How are you, sir?
In the house.
John Dorenzi.
And it's good to see Dave Spadaro being timely on his bathroom breaks, everybody. It's good stuff.
I hope he put the seat down.
I hope he doesn't have his own podcast or anything, because his timing's terrible.
All right, let's see here.
You had to tell the world?
No, that's good. It's all right. Let's talk real quick about Echelon Health and Fitness, everybody. Located in Voorhees, New Jersey, voted best gym in South Jersey 5 years in a row. Membership starting at $8.99 per month. Family and locally owned, indoor track, newest cardio and strength training equipment, 3 studios, indoor pool, whirlpool, and dry sauna, kids club, over 100 group fitness and Thrive personal training sessions. MBSC Thrive personal training, considered the best group training in the country. Member perks, Echelon members saving over 800 local businesses simply by being an active member. Coming to Audubon in early 2023, call 856-454-2976. That's 856-454-2976. Or go to Echelon HF, that's echelonhealthfitness.com. Coming on greenlegionradio.com this week, a link for everyone where you can sign up for a free 3-day-per-week membership at Echelon Health and Fitness for 1 year for free. A 3-day-a-week membership for an entire year for free. Because you listen to Green Legion Radio. Everybody back with Irving Fryer, Dave Spadaro, Chris Sack, Super Sam, Slash, and Eagles offensive lineman Jack Driscoll.
Yeah.
You know, can I get into Jack here a little bit? Because we talked a little bit about Stout and why he's so good. And it really is pretty amazing, Jack. I mean, he brings out the best in everyone. And there's got to be a trust that what he's teaching you is going to be beneficial to you. So you, like, implicitly have to just do everything he says. And then he has to believe that, right? So how does it work? How does he earn your trust, and how do you earn his trust?
Yeah, you know, the one thing with Stout is Stout always demands your best every day. And, you know, you're never going to be perfect, but Stout will always, you know, harp on you about being better than you were when you walked in the room that day. And trust is a two-way street, you know, as a coach, as a player. You know, I just got to understand that, you know, Coach Stout is telling me these things, you know, not just for his health, like he says, but just to make me a better player. And I think as a player, you got to put your ego aside, and you know, when you walk in the door, like I said, I've been coached by a lot of different people, but understand that, like, right now who I'm being coached by, that's what I need to, you know, apply to my game. And that's what, you know, all those techniques he's teaching, you know, for our offense, for what we're doing, you know, that's important to use. And that, you know, you look at the guys in the room, like Lane, Kelsey, all those guys, you see them using those techniques, and it's like, okay, you know, Stout knows what he's talking about. You know, these guys, you got Hall of Fame players in our room, and, you know, they're Hall of Fame. So, yeah.
Is some of the stuff that he teaches really different than things that you learned in the past?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a few nuances.
Keep going, Jack.
There are a few nuances, but, yeah, no, Stout really teaches, especially at tackle, really, really, he emphasizes getting off the ball, getting your spot, and, you know, low hands, be able to stop bull rush. So, just, you know, different, you know, a little different than college, but, yeah, no, he does a great job.
Jack, being the guy on the offensive line that has to know many different roles. I mean, your offensive tackle, your offensive guard. How difficult is that, having to know the roles of multiple positions across the offensive line? If Lane goes down, if Isaac goes down, if Landon goes down, Jordan, I know right now, Andre's close to coming back, or he is back.
Yep.
It's pretty much, you know, he's going to be the left tackle if something happens with Jordan. But you know, having to know three spots on the offensive line, that can't be an easy task.
Yeah, but, you know, with experience is big. You know, my last year getting to play, you know, play 9 games at guard was big. Hadn't really played much guard in high school or college, so that was an experience that really helped me out. And then, you know, the way I look at it, too, when you're a backup, that's your job, is to be able to come in there and back up whoever needs to, you know, whoever's out. And, you know, ultimately that's what it takes to be a good teammate. And, you know, you never know when your number's going to get called. And, two, you know, getting to play on the scout team. You know, when you're not one of the starters, you're running, you know, you're running on the cards for the starting defense. So, it's nice too in the week getting to get those reps, you know, whether it's at left tackle, right guard, right tackle, getting to move all around. And, you know, not only getting to move around, but you're going against Fletcher inside, you're going against Javon inside. Then on the outside, you have BG and Sweaty J and Hassan. So,
Sweaty J.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes you a better player. And especially like when you got to learn different positions, getting to go against guys who are, you know, as good, if not better, you know, we have the best D-line in football. You know, it's only going to help you out.
Jack, I know there was an interview where you were talking about taking over Jordan's position, starting that Jacksonville game, and then you were the starter in Arizona when the Green Legion was there, 1,200 strong, baby. Woo! You heard us up in the rafters.
It's true.
You heard us up in the rafters.
We traveled well that game.
You had not played left tackle before. You had played, you know, right guard and right tackle. Difference between right tackle and left tackle. You did comment on the fact that, you know, hey, I don't know everything about this position, but I'm stepping up anyway, and I got this covered. What is the difference?
Yeah, I mean, just when you switch sides, it's a different base. You know, your feet, it's, you know, it's opposite for your feet, opposite for your hands. And even sometimes in the huddle, you know, they call a play, and you're thinking, like, oh, you know, that's what it is at right side. You know, it's almost like backwards, you know, the direction of the play. But yeah, you know, my thing when I got called on in the Jacksonville game was just, I know I'm not going to be perfect, but just each play, you know, each play get better. You know, that was my thing was, okay, what did I do that play? I got to apply it to my next one. And just, you know, not letting one bad play turn to two. And then ultimately, like you said, just keep getting better and keep getting more confident. And, yeah, just trust and stout.
So I want to bring up, anybody have anything else you want to add on?
Yeah, I'd like to know a little bit more about it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Herb, I wasn't looking.
That's all right. So we were talking. I just wanted to talk about the bye week. You're coming off the bye week. You guys got an opportunity, as you said earlier, to get a jump, as we were talking, get a jump on the Steelers and what they're doing. How has it been for you since you've been here with the Eagles during that bye week? Is it tough for you to come back and get back in a flow? For me, it was always a tough thing, particularly you guys are flowing. You're 6-0. You have momentum. You're rolling. And now there's a break in that momentum. Do you see it? Do you feel it being different this year, or is it the same for you, or where's the team exactly, and how do you feel about that when it comes to coming off of a bye week?
Yeah, you know, my rookie year was COVID year, so we were here every day. You know, we had to test every day, so it was a bye week, but, you know, everyone was still in town. And then last year I stuck around, but, you know, Coach Sirianni does a great job of, you know, making sure, I even look back in the camp, you know, whenever we had a day off, making sure that we, come back and practice hard and whatnot and get ready to go, because, you know, you know, like we talked about too, is it is nice to have that break, you know, get, you know, guys are dinged up, you know, you get that week off, you know, get your sleep, get, you know, all that stuff, get your workouts in, get your recovery in. But, you know, look, everyone in here has the same mindset that we're ready to go. You know, we got our bye week, got rested, but, you know, we're going to attack week 7 just like we attacked the first 6, just one week at a time. And, you know, yeah.
Jack, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Can you describe, and I always love asking this question, I think fans love hearing the answer, what does your body feel like after you've played a lot in a game? For an offensive lineman, describe, like, how it feels that night, how it feels Monday, how it feels Tuesday. Do you feel normal by Wednesday?
Do they still have Toradol?
Yeah, but that's a little bit of a touchy subject.
Yeah,
but
it's a touchy subject.
It's a touchy subject, but, you know, Irv can test this. I feel like, you know, the night of, you're just sitting there thinking about all the plays you messed up. You know, you're just sitting like, oh man, what the heck was I thinking?
Still geeked up. You still geeked up.
Yeah, no, you still got the adrenaline flowing. So, you know, really it's that next morning and then, you know, it's like they always say, you're more sore 2 days after, almost than the day after. But I think one thing that's great too is, oh, I'm always sore going to that lift. I don't know if you guys did, but like Monday after a game, we always lift heavy squats.
Wow. Yep.
You know,
really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the theory for that?
Get rid of that lactic acid out. Push it through.
Even the chubby guy over here knows. Come on, Dave.
No, I thought it would be more like ice down, and then the second day, maybe.
No. Okay. No. Get that pushed out. Drink a lot of water. Flush it out of your system.
Yeah.
No. I get that.
Piss like a racehorse.
Oh yeah. No, Herb said you don't want to let that. If you let that lactic acid sit, even for that next day, your legs are gonna feel like rocks.
Right.
And then it's hard. Yeah. And then it's hard to come back for that Wednesday practice. Right. You know.
Honestly, in regular life, if you get a massage, you get a professional massage. They're pushing toxins.
I get that. No, there's
massage. And they tell you, you know, drink a lot of water after a massage. If you start drinking alcohol, you start pounding champagne, it's going to go right back into your system, and the next day you're going to feel worse than you did before you went in.
The idea of lifting, I get, but lifting heavy is what's surprising. Like, Jack, do you do the cryo chamber?
I'm not a big cryo chamber guy. I like my massage. I like my tubs. This year I got in a little bit of the dry needling. Like the acupuncture type stuff.
Oh, okay.
They have acupuncture now?
Oh, yeah.
My gosh, I'm missing
it. Oh, yeah.
I was born way too early, man.
Are you coming out of retirement?
I just might. Acupuncture, wait, man, to keep me going.
This is even better. This is even better. Because I use it, like, when I use it, I'll go there at 10 o'clock at night. Do you ever use the red light therapy bed?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you lay in this, it's like a tanning bed, and it's red light therapy.
I'm in.
And red light therapy is it promotes oxygen flow. And it, like through all your tissue, and I feel great when I come out of that thing.
Is that similar to a barometric chamber?
I don't really know what a barometric chamber is, but like it, I don't know. Blood flow and oxygen flow through your body promotes healing.
That's what that chamber
is supposed to do. Is that what it does?
Yes, it does.
Come a long way.
Zach, yeah.
Oh my God.
Zach, what do you got?
Speaking of coming off the bye week, what did you do? Like, how did you get away? How did you unplug? What did you do for fun during your time off? Because now you're back to the grind. You're preparing for the Pittsburgh Steelers this upcoming Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. What did you do for fun over the last week to enjoy yourself?
Yeah, so I'm from Connecticut, so it's only about, you know, like 3 hours, 15 minutes from my house. So I drove home. I just spent some great quality time with my parents. You know, once, as Herb knows, once the season comes, you know, you see the loved ones before and after games a little bit, but you know.
You're not sleeping in the same childhood bed, are you?
No, I am. Yeah.
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 And how does that look with your feet hanging off the edge?
There's something special about going back home and getting back in your bed. There's something special about that.
There is. It's like, you know, that's what I always say, man, this bed's way too small. And then I end up getting a great night's sleep.
Yeah.
You know, I get like 9 hours of sleep through the night. And I'm like,
I want to go over some more stuff.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, of course, please.
This has kind of to do, well, it does have to do with you, and it has to do with the team. I read that one of your favorite quotes is, success breeds complacency, complacency breeds failure, and only the paranoid succeed or survive.
Yeah.
Is that one of your favorite quotes?
Yeah. No, I just think that, where are you asking?
And well, just because the team is 6-0 now,
yeah.
Is that the mindset of the team right now? We know that every week when you win a game, you come back and some of the elders on the team, we've done nothing. We're just scratching the surface. We didn't play a perfect game. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get big-headed. Is that what's happening with the team?
Yeah, no, we have great leaders on our team, and we have great player leaders, you know, guys like Kelsey, Lane, and just in our line, our O-line room alone. But then you got Fletcher, BG, all those guys, and then Coach Sirianni. Just, you know, ultimately, we know it takes more than 6 wins to do what we want to do. You know, it's got to be 1 week at a time. And you know, even when we, you know, after a win, we come back and we're, you know, the coaches are just as critical as us on the film than if we were to lose. And I think that's important to understand that, you know, just because we won a game doesn't mean it was pretty. Doesn't mean that, you know, if we don't clean up those mistakes that, you know, we won't win the next game, you know. So just 1-0 at a time. Coach Sirianni is big on the process. Just, you know, each day, getting better. And yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I will say this though. And Irv, you tell me if you've ever met, I've never met an offensive lineman who looked ahead, or who had a big head, or who got ahead of himself, because, like,
right.
Offensive linemen live so in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jack said, after a game, they're not celebrating the win. They're going, man, why did I step there when I should have stepped
right.
there? Every mistake that I make. You guys, are you super hard on yourself, Jack?
Yeah, no, I try to be critical of myself. I know that's one of the best ways to improve and to grow. And just Stout is also, you know, he coaches hard. And, you know, that's one thing. I feel like if I'm just as hard as on myself as Stout is, then, you know, be good. But,
that's where the game is won or lost. The front line,
100%.
Offensively and defensively. That's where the game is won or lost. So these guys, you know, I've had conversations with defensive backs, conversations with linemen, conversations with quarterbacks. Linemen are some of the smartest people that play football.
And we're going to have a conversation with your inability to take a break when we're supposed to. When we come back.
Just cut my mic off.
I can't do that. I'll do that to Diaz.
No, you've done it to me before.
I'm just playing.
Cut my mic off.
I'm just playing.
That's when you weren't in the intro.
We got a lot more time here with Jack, but only one more segment. Looking forward to that that final segment. When we come back here on the Green Legion Radio's Players Show from the Live Casino, and if you're in South Philly right now, Bud Light. We're still buying Bud Lights for everybody here at the bar. Still buying Bud Lights.
Got about like 80 left until, you know, you have to start paying.
Well, no. I mean, you took care of half of that, but
I didn't.
You guys, on 102.5 FM, The Gambler, 1480 AM, we will be back from Live Casino with Jack Driscoll for our final segment with him right after this. Radio Players Show from Live Casino here in South Philadelphia on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia. My name is Quimby alongside Slash Super Sam Sackmaster, host of your Philadelphia Eagles Insider Podcast, Dave Spadaro.
Hello, hello.
Spuds. Legendary Eagles wide receiver, Mr. Irving Fryer, and of course, offensive tackle for your Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Jack Driscoll.
Undefeated.
You're undefeated, Philadelphia Eagles.
Stop reminding him.
Oh, Jack, not him, just everybody else.
No, Jack, I've got a bunch of stuff to get through with you here, and we only have about 10 minutes. And by the way, Bud Light, Bud Light, Bud Light, Bud Light. Bud Light is also responsible for the Lane Johnson signed jersey we're giving away later
Nice.
Along with a pair of tickets to the Sixers or Flyers future games.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, we Bud Light's come up big for us. I'm going to have Lauren run around. Anybody that wants to be in that raffle, because I didn't bring tickets because I'm still a puddle from Punta Cana. Thank you. Alexis, Tom, you know, Sam, we all know what's going on. Jack, let's go back real quick. Short period, long period. You've had some injury bugs since you've been here. And it's, I believe it's kind of difficult. I want to know where your mindset is, because you played 45 games in a row. You can't play 45 games in a row at your position at any stage of the game if your body's prone to injury. It's not the case. I think you just had a streak of bad luck here. What do you do to get your mindset back to, hey, I was a starter here for a little while. How do I get back to that role? How do I support? I know you guys as an offensive line are a pretty tight crew, and we're going to get into that even more. But, where's your mindset coming off these injuries? How do you get yourself back in that frame of mind to compete for a starting position?
Yeah, injuries are part of the game. And for me, it was, I'm a Christian, and for me, I wasn't complaining to God when things were going well. So who am I to start complaining when I face a setback or, an injury? And that was kind of the way mentally I was able to get through it. Just understand that's part of it, and that, it is what it is. I can't do anything about it now, but just learn and grow from it. And like I said, when things are going great, I wasn't complaining, so can't be down and can't start questioning things when, I face a few setbacks.
I did a show with these guys in the preseason, and literally your name was one of four that I had brought up that I thought was critically important to the success of the Eagles, and it was you playing to the ability that you already shown, and if you could play to any more as you're learning and growing, it's going to do nothing except help this team, and I think we've seen that so far this year. Just want to say continued success with that, Dave.
I'd like to get into the Pittsburgh Steelers a little bit because, the Steelers are a team, I think they've struggled obviously offensively. Their quarterback isn't really very, very experienced, rookie kid. But defensively, I'm not even sure how much you guys have seen, but they've hung in there defensively, and they're really aggressive defensively, and they keep showing a lot of different looks. At this point, what do you know about the Pittsburgh Steelers? No TJ Watt on Sunday. I'm sure you're going to miss him. But what kind of stuff do the Steelers throw at you?
Yeah, no, they're going to give us a lot of different looks. And like you said, their defense has been playing great all year, and that really goes down to like the DNA of the Steelers. You know, just that's their culture, that's their organization, is that they're going to play good D. They're going to, it's going to be a physical game. We already know that at the line of scrimmage. They got great D linemen, guys like Cam Hayward. I know T.J. Watt's out, but obviously one of the best players in the league. Guys like Devin Bush in the linebacking core. So, yeah, no, we know that it's going to be physical. You know, they're going to throw a lot of stuff at us. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but we're up for it.
What percentage of the plays in a game do you kind of really know that, because you've studied film, you know they're coming, versus how many times do you kind of just they try to surprise you, something that they haven't shown on film? Like, it's just happened 3 or 4 times a game, 5 or 6, 10 times a game, where you're just kind of not sure what's coming your way.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, every D coordinator is going to try to give us a, you know, what we call an unscouted look. You know, just kind of like what, you know, the way Stouts is a flavor of the week. What are they going to do different? It might be a personnel they throw at one of our personnels. It could be, you know, just some stunts. It could be blitzes, whatnot. But, you know, we're lucky to have Kelsey, who's, you know, I don't even have to tell you guys how smart and how great he is at what he does. So
great at chugging beer, too.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That was awesome.
That was the greatest laugh ever. Yeah.
So what are some of those unscouted looks that you get from week to week? What are some of those things that you see? You're watching film and you see what they have a tendency to do, but then when the game comes, you know, the defensive coordinators always have something different. Yeah. What have been some of those things that they've thrown at you as an offensive line this year?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times, whether it's like, you know, if it's 4 down, they mug some of the linebackers, you know, they bring them up. Some weeks, maybe they use one guy as a pop guy and the other one drops. Where, so, okay, we're going to go to this guy in our protection, then all of a sudden, you know,
he's
not the one. Yeah, so it's just one of those things. It's kind of the ebb and flow of the game, and just understand that, you know, you got, you know, that's one of the things about being an O-lineman is you got to be attentive and understand, like, okay, we talked that they're going to do this, that, hey, they're going to run, you know, when there's one linebacker in the bump, they run saw. You know, they're going to bring saw, but, you know, okay, maybe they are going to, you know, disguise it. You know, maybe the guy will roll down, safety will roll down late or whatnot. Just because, you know, what we always say in our room is, like, we know that, or they know that we know. You know, like, they know that we're watching this and say, okay, this is what they're going to give us for this look or this formation. So, you know, it's kind of just a game of chess at that point.
Right.
I know you guys want to talk about Pittsburgh, and we're going to have another hour to do this after Jack leaves. I want to have some fun with Jack right now. No, because
I apologize, Jack.
No, because I think this is the stuff that people want to know. All right, athletes aren't robots; they're humans. You're playing this game originally to have fun, and hopefully, even at this stage, you're still having a blast with it. I want best offensive line in the league, arguably. I want to know
who else is in the conversation.
I said arguably.
That's inarguably.
I said inarguably.
Get him, Spuds.
By the way, John Dorenzi, Penn Distributors, Bud Light, everybody. Yeah, here we go.
Bud Lights are tasting delicious.
I want you to tell us, because I'm sure, again, this is a tight-knit group. All right, I want a bunch of things. I want to know who breaks balls more now. I want to know who razzes each other the most. I want to know who picks up the offensive lineman dinner tab. And I want to know something funny about everybody on that line.
Do it rapid fire. Let's go.
Rapid fire. Tell me something funny about everybody in your offense on your offensive line.
It's hard. Let's see.
Whatever comes to mind.
Each person.
Just name a couple guys.
It doesn't have to be everybody, but
how about Jordan Mailata?
Jordan's got a lot about him. Jordan's a special dude.
That's never a good statement.
No, I'm saying in a good way. You know, okay. You see how talented Jordan is. Jordan can sing. You guys can see that. I'll go with Jordan can sing. Yeah, you guys all saw in The Voice, but
Lane.
Something funny about Lane.
If I'm putting you on the spot, don't worry about it. We can move on. You can say pass.
Great hairstyle.
He's got great hands. Lane can throw football really well.
Really?
Yeah, Lane played quarterback at junior college, so Lane can.
He can toss the rock.
He is a cannon.
Really?
Have you ever worked out at the Bro Barn?
I have, yeah.
So the Bro Barn, Lane has this Bro Barn outside in like his garage back in his.
That's awesome.
And it is a tricked out gym. It's freaking amazing.
Really?
Like you feel like it's like a medieval torture chamber, and you go in there and there's all professional athletes getting better and working hard and having a great, great time. And then they all have, he's got this like pit where everybody cooks out and hangs out, and I feel like that's a great summer activity for everybody.
Yeah, it was awesome training there. Just training with guys, you know, guys on our team, but also guys on other teams too, getting to, know other guys. You know, just pick each other's brain about football, you know, different technique, always talking technique, and it's a great thing Lane has. It's a great, like Dave said, he's got a great gym, and that's awesome.
Kelsey, besides chugging beer.
He's best dressed on the O-line.
And really? Throwing around the finale.
Beautiful.
Yeah. How about Landon?
Landon is really into working on cars.
Really?
Cars. Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Who likes to razz somebody more than anybody? Who's the jokester? Who's the
prankster?
Yeah.
In the O-line room, it's kind of everyone. You know, it's just like you said, it's a tight knit group of guys. You know, busting each other's balls, but also then loving each other up, and good combination of both.
Does anybody do a stout impersonation?
No, there's only one stout. You can't be impersonated.
Does Sua Opeta ever get emotional about anything? Or is he super, super stoic? I've never seen
I feel like this is prefaced for some reason.
Yeah, I know.
No, Sue, I mean, obviously Sue's got great composure. He is stoic, but, I remember, when Sue and we have a big drive or touchdown, he's always pumped up. Sue is one of those guys, just stoic, but, composed, always composed, and,
How do you decide who picks up the offensive lineman dinner tab?
So the one at the end of the year, that's the rookie one. Yeah, that's the traditional run up the bill as much as you can. But then the other ones, when we do dinner on, like, Thursday or Friday nights, it's credit card roulette.
Okay.
Wow. So the rookie one, your rookie year. Now, was it just you as the rookie, or did you get to split it between another guy, another two guys, or how? And like, you don't have to say, but is it six figures? Is what you're looking at?
No, it's not. We've never had a six figure one. I don't know about you.
No, it's never been. No, six, that's kind of.
But with the alcohol and all that stuff, it can get expensive.
That's ridiculous.
That wouldn't be cool. Yeah, that wouldn't be cool.
I've seen some Cristal ones.
My rookie year, I had to carry the whole thing. It was just me. There were other rookies there, but I was the first pick in the draft. So I had to carry the whole time.
Well, that was inflation decreased by 20%.
Yeah, but still,
back in your day.
That's so pricey. Yeah.
It was relative is what it was.
So what happened in your rookie year?
I'm going to say that might be the only good thing that came from the COVID year was that there was no rookie dinner.
Don't bring it up. Everybody throw that one under the rug. They didn't roll that over until year two?
No, they didn't.
Well, you were
we didn't do it last. And then, so last year was the first year we had done it. I think there had been a couple years off from it. I wasn't the only, our class wasn't the only one. And then we picked it back up with Landon.
He was thrilled about that. We did this rookie like parents came in for the summer, and I remember Landon sitting up on the panel talking to all the rookies and their parents and going, like, one of the questions was, so what was the one big thing you learn? I think I said this in an earlier show. What's the one big thing you learn as a rookie in the NFL? And his answer was, taxes, that you have to pay taxes, right? Like, crazy. You make all this
money.
You
don't realize how much money you give up until you start making some.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is so, why are agents not telling you guys this? Why are you not learning this in college? Like, why is this such a surprise? This is a failing of the American school system.
They don't have classes for that.
They
here it
have
is. Here comes Dave on his political rant.
No,
Dave, get off.
Everybody in high school should take a personal finance class. And
every athlete should.
Every person should.
And
a public speaking class.
It shouldn't be a gen ed, too. It should be in the system. I agree with Dave.
Thank you.
We've been on the same page tonight,
by the way. I mean, right. And instead of like.
You want to sit next to him, too?
Yeah. The history of American French culture. Like, who cares? Like,
We all know the Pythagorean theorem.
Yeah. Right. Matt, like,
right. Trig, too.
Yeah.
Trump's taxes, apparently.
Everybody, this is the Green Legion Radio Player Show. Tonight, we're always brought to you by Bud Light, but it's a special night. I don't know if we're still up to that 100, but we should be getting there. We go over 100. I'm all right with that a little bit. We are at Live Casino here in South Philadelphia. I want to thank our guest, Jack Driscoll.
Yeah. Thanks, Jack.
Lyman for the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles. Jack, always a pleasure
to have
you
on. Sunday. Go get him on Sunday.
Kick some good ass. Work. Keep up the good work.
We don't care about 6-0. Just win Sunday.
1-0.
Anyway, we're going to figure out a way to give away our door prizes. Jack's going to hang out for a few minutes, take some photos. We're on Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, and we'll be back right after this. everybody. Good time to be a Philly sports fan. This is the Green Legion Radio Players Show from the Live Casino here in South Philadelphia. If you are around, stop by. It's still a great crowd here right now. We have the Live Dining and Entertainment Group here. Once again, it's the quarterly meeting where everybody pretends to like Doug. It's a good time.
Gonna leave us the food at least.
Oh, they took it. I just noticed that.
The hell's going on here?
Did they toss all that food?
We also have a bunch of execs from Bud Light, and thanks to them, we have a couple of great giveaways tonight. When intern Lauren comes back, all right, she has an app. It's a wheel app. Everybody's gonna put their name in, and she's just gonna spin the wheel. And we'll give away the Lane Johnson signed jersey and a pair of tickets to an upcoming Sixers or Flyers game.
She learned so smart.
You know what? She's the best.
She came up with a solution.
She did. She just
got a bright future.
Yeah, she just earned her internship.
I wanted that.
Or Alexis gave her the idea.
Choose the Flyers.
No, Alexis, don't take credit. Okay, Alexis that's gave her the idea.
She came up with the idea.
Alexis Washkel and Tom Patterson, fresh off Punta Cana, along with Super Sam Brady, who's still in love with the 3-point Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You know what? I think we finally found how to eliminate Tom Brady is the fact that her finally admitting her love for Tom Brady, it's actually bringing him down, both in his married life with Giselle and on the field. We found out that she is the magic elixir.
Is that an insult?
She knows when to take the open seat.
Listen, I'm just going to explain something right now. You're welcome. I have put my hard work and soul into breaking this marriage up, and now he sucks. So you're welcome.
Did you put the whammy on him?
I did what I had to do, Herb.
You know what it's so interesting. Thanks
that
for
might
that,
be Sam. The best she's ever been on radio.
She sounded great.
That was great.
She spoke into the mic.
Isn't it amazing? Like if you were to at the beginning of the season go, okay, Eagles are gonna look at the NFC and they're gonna go, who's our biggest competition? And right now it's the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Vikings.
What, right?
Wouldn't you have signed up for that day, all night?
Well, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers down. I mean, the Niners 3-4.
And they have the Bills this weekend.
Tampa Bay getting busted.
By the way, I'm going to go into something before we start because, Dave, I want to talk to you about this more so than anybody else because Howie has ups and downs. He's got dips. And when he's on top of his game, there is no better general manager in football as far as I'm concerned. But sometimes you do question some of the moves. I want to
who are you?
Say, I just armchair quarterback.
Okay. Fair.
I want to say,
fair.
Well, no, no, no.
Accurate.
In looking at this trade rumor with Christian McCaffrey this week, I am so happy he did not, A, waste that draft capital he's been accumulating, especially for 2024.
I don't want to spend it on that.
For a guy who's constantly injured in the most replaceable position,
bingo,
in the NFL,
and the shelf life of running backs in general.
Exactly,
it
he's well over that.
Doesn't make sense to bring him in anyway.
But you would use him as a slot receiver. You'd move him around the formation.
Correct.
If he's healthy,
he would be he's a very good football player, and I have no problem with that. But look, San Francisco paid a heavy price for him, and we'll see how it works out. I they also have extra draft picks, so I really can't blame San Fran for that move, honestly. I think it's really shrewd of them, and I think it's smart of Carolina to get rid of him. But I don't think he's a difference-making guy in the playoffs.
Right. I don't think he's a difference-maker at this stage of his career. You know, I get it. He's still top five on your fantasy board, but you're taking a risk every single year with how many games he's going to play.
Did you hear that the Panthers were also offered 2 first-round picks for defensive end Brian Burns, and they turned it down? They look at him as one of the centerpieces for them moving forward.
Wow.
I'm sorry. If someone's offering me 2 first-round picks for a guy that might sign elsewhere down the road,
that's,
you know, in the next year or two, yeah, I'm taking that deal. Where do I send them to?
Now, you know, the trade deadline is 1 week from today, 4 o'clock on November 1st. In your mind, guys, do you, A, want the Eagles to make a trade? Expect them to make a trade, and if so, what position do you want them to make a trade for?
I'm going to stick with my guns from last week. I'm still of the mindset that something needs to be done special teams-wise, particularly
in the punt return. Yeah, in the return game. Because
hey, Britton Covey, great guest.
I love Covey. I don't have a problem with Covey, but he just does not look comfortable back there. I was a punt returner for 8 years in the NFL. He is not comfortable. He tries too hard, and he's going to do something wrong because he's not comfortable with that position, catching the ball or even running it.
Did you like Greg Ward as a return man?
I haven't seen enough of him. As I know, he catches the ball.
I think he's serviceable.
He looks a lot better and a lot more comfortable. Yes, they've taken him off the practice squad.
No, he's on the practice squad.
I mean, they've put him on the practice squad.
Right.
But he's probably going to be active this week. And you don't think so?
No, he's not healthy yet. But this is a move for down the line. You'll see what happens.
He's
potential.
I think they really
believe in Britton Covey. I think they think that he's going to get better.
I think Britton needs one great play. He's catapulted himself.
He's trying too hard. He really is. He knows he wants.
It's not just Britton. All right, it's the blocking coverage on the way down the field.
Of course.
All right, he has somebody in his face every single punt.
He's the one that's got to handle the ball. He's the one that's got to make the right choice.
Have you seen him have 5 or 7 yards of open field in front of him unless the punt was 60 yards?
That doesn't matter. What I'm saying he's got to make the right choice and the right decision. First, he's got to catch the ball. Secondly, he's got to decide whether or not he's going to fair catch it. Third, he's got to decide where to run with the ball.
And you know what else you have to decide? To drink Bud Light tonight, everybody. 100 Bud Lights on Green Legion Radio at Center Bar.
Don't worry, Herb. I got you covered.
Again, delicious.
You drink mine. How about that?
You got it, baby.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Herb's just too good.
We need to do something. I'm telling you, we need to do something in the special teams area of this team.
You got
something, Chris?
Yeah, for me, I think they're going to make a move. I'm not sure what the move is going to be. But I think I said this last week. I would prefer to add some defensive line depth to the end. Yeah, defensive end.
Well, and Dave brought that up. You know, somebody to try and replace the loss of Derek Barnett.
Well,
that's big.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's snaps. It's veteran snaps. You know, he was really good against the run. Obviously, we didn't get the pass rush out of him that we had expected when we drafted him in the first round in 2017. But, you know, I think if you could add some depth there and, not, you know, maybe the third, fourth round pick, if you give that up. Especially next year, we have two firsts, and then the year after that, we have two seconds. I don't want to touch those. I want to leave those picks alone if we can. And then, you know, if they don't make a move on that side of the ball, you need to add some running back depth. I think you need someone behind Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott, somebody that's serviceable.
Maybe Trey Sermon, a guest of the show a few weeks ago. I absolutely
do not agree with the running back situation.
I think
it's good where it is. And you never hear that from me.
Wow.
How about that?
Wait,
I would like to see Trey Sermon get some more touches.
Good player.
This guy is a great guest, but this is also a guy who shined every time he's touched the ball. You give him an opportunity, he goes from Oklahoma, he goes to Ohio State. This guy's a player.
Anybody can get 300 yards in a game, man, rushing the ball. There's something there. Yeah, there's something there.
And he's got some size, which is the one thing I've been bitching about the entire season.
One thing?
The one of the many things. But I agree with you and Dave. I think the one element that we need
is special
teams at the end.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a little bit deeper there. I know, you know, you don't have Hassan Reddick listed on the depth chart as a D end,
but he's your
best edge rusher right now. But you know he's still also a linebacker, and he's going to be pulled back in coverage. And if you've got a serviceable D end who can get some pressure on the quarterback, then allow Gannon to be a lot more flexible with his calling. Am I accurate on that?
I mean, I don't think you can ever have enough pass rushers. So
is there anybody available?
I mean, everybody talks about
Bradley Chubb.
Chubb, Burns, and then in Chicago,
Robert Quinn.
Robert Quinn is the other one that people are talking about him being available.
Did you guys just hear Sack feed?
Yes,
Dave,
I heard that.
Where do you think he gets all his information?
No, I was drinking my Spud
Light.
I'm
a source.
John, why are we not doing Spud's Light?
New commercial.
Yeah. Come on.
He's taking that down right now. Look at it. He's writing it down in his notes.
So I think that's a winner.
But you know what I think is great is the fact that we have such a well-rounded team that we're thinking about the trade deadline. And it's like, well, maybe they could, you know, improve in punt return. Maybe they could get some depth on the DN.
No, they can improve in punt return.
I know they can, but yes, that, but can. For that being the first thing that comes to mind is punt returning, it just shows that their offense and defense is pretty damn solid moving forward for the rest of the season.
Exactly.
Sam.
So if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No. If it ain't broke, you can add to it. Yeah. Everybody real quick. Lauren, out at center bar, raise your hand. Lauren. Everybody check out Lauren. Yes. It's easy to check her out. All right.
She'll be in the calendar.
We all know that. She's going to be in the calendar this year. If anybody wants in on the raffle for the Eagle or for the Sixers Flyers tickets and the Lane Johnson jersey, go see her right now.
Signed.
Go see her right now.
Signed Lane Johnson jersey, right?
Signed Lane Johnson jersey. Dave, we haven't gone into this, and I'm it might be a superfluous question, but
it's the biggest word you ever used.
Superfluous. Nice.
Spell it. All can go to hell.
I can't
Super F L U O U S. Kiss it.
He was studying that word on the plane back for the Dominican today.
Dave, injury report for this Sunday.
No update. We're just waiting on Lane Johnson, and we'll find out more tomorrow. Eagles have not practiced yet. They reported to NovaCare on Monday. They went through just some break a sweat kind of workout. They had a day off today, and they come back tomorrow and get on the practice field.
Historically, teams coming off a bye
have been very good.
Have been very good, but also a little slow in the first quarter.
Yeah.
You expect this team to push through that?
I mean, I think the Eagles are a much better football team than the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are 2-5. They're coming off a short week, a loss in Miami. Their offense is being tested. They're trying to find their identity. They don't know what they are. They've got a rookie quarterback, Kenny Pickett. He threw three interceptions the other night. He could have had
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. Baby hands.
Their defense is really aggressive, but they don't have T.J. Watt. So, I mean, I expect the Eagles to come out with I will say this. This game is absolutely sold out. It is the hardest ticket of this 2022 season. You cannot get a ticket. So I think the energy at Lincoln Financial Field is going to be crazy. So I do expect the Eagles to come out with a lot of precision, a lot of urgency, and I expect a great performance by the Philadelphia Eagles.
And a very urgent statement right now. Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch, has just doubled our total for tonight. They're going to add another 100 Bud Lights onto the tab. Man. So
get the drinking.
Center bar, start drinking, everybody. Center bar, start drinking. Sack.
Dave, also, the Steelers have never won in Philadelphia.
That's correct. You guys want to hear a crazy stat? All right. 48-29-3 overall, the Eagles against the Steelers lifetime.
Wow.
You're talking about a Steelers team that has six Super Bowls? Six?
Yeah, no, six. Yeah, six per
48, but the Eagles against them lifetime are 48-29-3 and have never lost in Philadelphia. I
think we got a party foul over here. Someone spilled a beer.
Spud, I want to ask you a question. You were talking about
101, jackass.
We're talking about coming off the bye week and the Eagles coming out with energy and all. Do you know about the history or just recently in the recent years? The Eagles and how they play coming off of a bye week?
I mean, Andy Reid's team's never lost coming out of the bye.
Okay.
I don't think, last year I think the Eagles won coming out of the bye.
The Eagles have fared pretty well.
Pretty well, yeah. Most teams, I think, do pretty well. I don't really know around the league, but
this is a good team.
Here it's
been
good.
This is a good team for them to play because the Steelers are
not a good team.
No, they're only scoring, they're scoring less than 16 points a game.
Right.
Well, hey, listen, we've had these matchups already this year where, you know, nothing scared you coming into the game. I want to know
nothing
if
scares any, me it, any game.
Okay, but what is going to be the one element that keeps Pittsburgh in the game? It's still an NFL game.
I think it's their defense. They like to blitz. Historically, they blitz a lot.
But they're undisciplined.
They've changed. On Sunday night against Miami, they had a chance to intercept
four times.
They couldn't make plays.
They dropped four interceptions.
So I think that's their offense really, and they have three great receivers. Their rookie, Pickens, is a standout, spectacular kid from Tennessee, great receiver. And when you combine him with Claypool and
Deontay Johnson,
who drops a lot of passes.
Fire move.
But he had the quietest 100 really, reception.
Ryan was a great tight end. Najee Harris, good running back.
But they have nobody to get the ball to them.
And, well, it's also the protection.
And the offensive line.
Yeah, the protection
is
really bad.
And Pickett's just really reluctant to throw the ball, to let it go. And I just feel like Eagles match up so well with Slay and with Bradbury and with Maddox.
What, you mean the best secondary in the league?
It's crazy, right?
One and
it's
two.
It's scary.
Yeah.
No, it's not just that. It's also...
What's the safety suit?
It's Gardner Johnson.
Yeah.
It's
Marcus Epps.
Epps.
All right.
Yep.
It starts with the corners.
We look at historic Eagles secondary on paper like the Dawkins, Lewis, Sheldon, Lito, and you go, wow, look at that. We didn't have that coming into this season. We didn't think Gardner Johnson and Epps were going to complete the 1-1A D-back situation that we have. It's crazy right now. We're going to talk more about that.
Guess you weren't a big fan of Blaine Bishop.
Love Blaine Bishop.
After we talk about Don't Hang Out Alone in the Man Cave for football this season, try hanging out at Cheerleaders with sexy entertainers, $4 domestic beers, Jameson specials, and awesome game day prizes during all Sunday and Monday football games. That's right. Stop in before, during, or after the game, not only to see your favorite entertainers, but also your chance to win an awesome game day prize. The most epic game day experience is at Cheerleaders Gentlemen's Club, where champions play. Cheerleaders is open daily from noon until 2 a.m. Everybody, this is Bud Light Night here at Live Casino in South Philadelphia. Marielle, Michael, we're adding another 100 beers on top of that tab. Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia. We'll be back right after this. Everybody! The Green Legion Radio Player Show with Irving Fryer, Dave Spadaro, Chris Sack, Super Sam Brady, / Intern Lauren, Alexis, Tom, everybody else out in the crew that has been pushing it. Where's Big Sam?
Have you been screaming?
Saw him walking around like a big carrot.
Yeah, Dick Tracy, he's got the red top hat on.
He'll be right back. You know, it's a fun time of year when every outfit that I have looks like a Christmas tree.
You call it an outfit, Quimby.
It's a fun time of year when I tell Dave we don't need him next week. But
that's right.
He doesn't need any of us next week.
I'm not going to be here next week.
Everybody.
I'm going to take my Spud Light and go home.
My Spud Light. I love that, my Spud Light. You guys, make sure you continue to support our sponsor and our host location here, Live Casino in South Philadelphia.
Fantastic.
Head to Sports and Social or Center Bar for every Phillies postseason watch party. Enjoy $5 Budweiser, Bud Lights, Phillies giveaways during all the games. Visit livecasinophilly.com. There were some, we're going to have this. Philly Wine Festival, Saturday, November 19th, Jefferson Starship, Friday, December 9th, Matt Frazier, Saturday, December 10th and 11th, Soul Town to Motown. Go ahead, Irv. Holiday Show, Sunday, December 18th. And that was the music we were listening to when we golfed.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, did you want me to sing something?
Yes. Bobby Collins, Saturday, February 18th. Tickets on sale now at livecasinophilly.com. Livecasinophilly.com. Zach.
Also, some special programming notes this week for Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5. We're going to do a Bud Light Baseball Brunch recording on Wednesday evening. Live, Murph will be down in Houston with the team. So we'll be doing the recording.
Or I could just be the host and we can do it live with him. I'll be there. And we can cut you out.
Well, we're talking about this week, not next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this week. So we're going to be on the Green Legion YouTube channel. So just make sure you guys look out for on the social media.
Am I continuing
medias.
To pay for this?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
No, you're paying for the show. And then we'll be on Thursday night from 8 to 9. So make sure you guys tune in for that. That way we don't interfere with game one of the World Series on Friday night. And I will be on the Daily Ticket with Sean Brace and John Jansen from 5 to 6 on Thursday.
Excellent.
So make sure you guys check it out. We're going to talk everything and anything Phillies and World Series.
Excellent. Lauren, intern Lauren, come on up here real quick, can you? You have everybody's name?
That's Lauren Powell, everybody.
When you raised your hand, I thought you were going to be singing Jefferson Starship.
Bring it, so. Bring it. All right, so let's do this first. Let's,
I thought about it.
This is our second to last segment. Let's give away an upcoming pair of tickets on behalf of Bud Light to a Sixers or Flyers game.
Can I answer that?
Sixers or Flyers game.
4-2 Flyers, hey. 1-3 Sixers. Make sure it's the Flyers.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hey,
Sixers are going to bounce back.
Hold on a second.
I need,
do we have to take Sixers?
Yes. I want that button.
I need the young lady in the red flannel shirt. Right there. All right, red flannel.
Al Borland's daughter.
All right, come on up. Don't worry, you don't have to speak. I just need you to be witness.
Look, she's frightened of you already. She doesn't even know.
Come on up.
Good thing.
Come on up. What's your name?
Laura.
Laura, okay. Laura and Lauren. All right, we're giving away a pair of tickets to an upcoming Sixers or Phillies game. Lauren is going to spin the wheel. I want you to tell me what name she comes out with.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
No whammies.
This is a fun app. I like this.
Whammies.
Yeah. She pushed the
it's good
button
for radio.
And the wheel started
spinning.
Yeah,
yep.
We're there.
She pushed the button. The wheel started spinning.
Yeah. Technology.
Jody.
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 Here we go.
All right, Jody.
All right, you can come up here.
And that's a Sixers
but I don't have the
Flyers
tickets
game
right now. So... You want a pair of tickets to an upcoming Sixers or Flyers game. Hey, your choice.
Go Flyers.
Lauren's going to get your info. And when we come back from the next break, we're going to do the same thing with the signed Lane Johnson jersey, everybody. And once again, while we're at it, Bud Light. Everybody, the first 200 Bud Lights are on Green Legion Radio and Anheuser-Busch. We appreciate that.
Spudweiser.
Spudweiser.
Bud Light.
Spud Light and Spudweiser.
When you say Spudweiser, you said it all.
Okay, so we're done with your singing.
And Peanut Butter Box is gone.
Yeah, is that a Motown song?
No, that's not Motown.
They don't even get it.
They don't get it. That's an old Budweiser song.
I got it.
Come on, man.
I'm almost as old as you two clowns.
Have you ever heard of a Clydesdale?
Of course.
Yes.
And nothing better than a Dalmatian getting a ride from one.
There you go.
Exactly right.
Right.
What do you look up on the internet? What are we talking about next?
They have no clue. They have no clue.
It's all right. He'll be on vacation again next
week.
Don't worry.
No, I'm going to Kentucky next week.
All right. Start out with Dave on this again. Talking about the NFC East. All right. Cowboys, Giants. Is the East that good or... talk about your opinion.
That's
on
a great
this
question, Quimby. I don't know the answer, but I do think that we've had enough of a sample size that you have to take the Giants and say they're legit. Like, if the Eagles were, what are they, 5-2, or 5-1, 6-1, the Giants are
6-1.
If the Eagles were 6-1, winning the way the Giants are winning, I'd say, wow, the Eagles are finding ways to win, and they're tough, and they don't turn the ball over, and what a great formula. And yet when the Giants do it, everybody says, well, they're lucky, they don't have weapons, they're not playing anybody, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to say the Giants are a really solid team that they believe in their coach. They're tough, they're physical, they're not beating themselves. They're playing to their strengths, which is Saquon Barkley, which is Daniel Jones being mobile.
And not turning the ball over.
And not, I think he's only had 2 turnovers this year, which is a defense that's playing very sound football. And when you win games in the fourth quarter, Irv, doesn't that tell you that, you know, you have a great deal of confidence and you're really well coached?
And you're resilient.
Yep.
And teams know that they've got to play all 60 minutes of that game. If they don't, then you're going to have some problems.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what happens before the 60 minutes runs out. We know we're going to play all the way until the end. So you better be on top of your P's and Q's because we're coming.
And I think this, I mean, they have played themselves into a position where the games they play in late November, December, even into January are going to be meaningful. And the experience that they've had winning now is really going to pay off then.
And you want to say that they haven't beaten anybody. I mean, you know, the Packers still had Aaron Rodgers when they had to go across the pond to beat them and come back in the fourth quarter against them. And then, you know, they slapped him around at the end of that game. And then they did it
at home against the Ravens. And we saw that a couple weeks ago. And the Ravens, they're not quite like the Ravens anymore. They're struggling defensively.
Lamar's been horrendous in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think the whole team in general has been horrendous in the fourth quarter.
But it's still a team that's,
that's
tough,
a good football
opponent
team.
Every week.
It's a well-coached team with John Harbaugh. And for them to come back, Dable just has some sort of control right now with those players in that locker room. They breathe confidence from him. And watching him the other day after the game, and he's sitting there meeting the fans after the game. He's smoking a cigar.
Would you say he's coach of the year?
He's smelling himself right now.
Yeah, so far he is.
I think so too, because I think there was more expectations obviously for the Eagles and Nick Sirianni than what there was for the Giants.
Well, I think we can go back to preseason and the fights that were happening in camp, and we're all going, this guy doesn't have control of anything. We're probably more hoping that was the case than anything else.
I do
think that they are relying so much on Saquon Barkley, and I just wonder,
can he last
through the course of the season? How much more wildcat can you run? How many more big runs? I think he's
already nicked up.
He's had like 6 20-plus runs and 2 40-plus runs, and that's great production, but it's only October, and it's going to get a lot harder as the season goes along. And I imagine teams now, you just stack the box and make the Giants beat you with the run. Make them be more physical than you are.
It's also like Daniel Jones. I mean, you were saying they're making him mobile. I mean, how long? That's something I worry
about.
He's
always been mobile, though.
Yeah, but if you're making him more mobile than he's used to being, that's where you can make him susceptible to injury. That's the worry that I have with Jalen how often he likes to go.
What's interesting about being more mobile, it's always the argument, like, when quarterbacks break the pocket, they get hit by smaller guys. When they're in the pocket, they're getting hit by defensive linemen and linebackers. When they're in the when they're in second and third levels, they're getting hit by defensive backs.
And they're designing plays now for Jones to run. It's like Jalen. So, yeah, he's becoming, or he is mobile, but they're using his mobility to advance the offense.
Just don't trip over the 20-yard line.
Was funny.
He ran out of gas. I do respect the Giants, and I think their schedule's pretty easy moving forward. And you know, the Eagles don't play them until December. And
2 games within a month.
Those games all of a sudden are really meaningful.
Those games are always absolutely weird. All right. Regardless of the level of talent,
division games,
and it's why I have gone public so many times and said I can't stand the Giants more than the Cowboys. It always seems that regardless of the level of talent between us and the Giants, these games are close, especially the ones at the end of the year. You never know what's going to happen. You hope you're on the winning end, but there's always a weird bounce.
Well, by then, both teams won't be the same teams they are right now. They'll be two different teams.
Why? Why? They could be.
Well, but they will be, because either you're going to continue to get better, or if injuries happen or something causes you to take a slide, both teams by that time in the season will not be the team that they are right now after 7 or 8 games.
You know, one of the things I'm really glad the Eagles are 6-0, and I think it's great, but I'm also glad that the Eagles haven't played a 60-minute perfect game, because you always wonder, like, teams that peak in October, they are never as good in the playoffs. So I want the Eagles to keep growing. I don't care about the win-loss record, but get better, and play their best football. As Buddy Ryan used to say, when the snow flies in November, December, now it's January, that's when you want to be playing your best football. We have not seen the best of the Philadelphia Eagles to date.
I agree with that, Spuds. And yes, you want your team to get better and peak towards the latter part of the season going into the playoffs. But I played 17 years in the NFL, played a lot of football games, and I've never been on a team that's ever played a perfect game. There are no perfect games. You always have ups and you have downs in every game.
We've been talking about this every week. All right. The Detroit game, you know, first game of the season, shake the rust off.
Shootout.
But after that, all right, we still look like so much better of a football team on the field than our opponent, even though some of these
scores, or, you know, final scores have not truly been representative of the dominance that this team has. All right, offense, you know, we're riding a high right now. Jalen Hurts is playing much more or better or efficient than we had thought he would coming into this particular season, adding A.J. Brown, Miles Sanders actually, you know, playing healthy, being a little mean-spirited, throwing a shoulder down every now and then, taking advantage of his moments. The offense is great, but this defense is just flat-out nasty, opportunistic, and every time they step on the field, I literally go, this is a three and out. If they're lucky and the defense doesn't get a ball on a turnover, within the first three plays.
I also think a major thing, and you heard it from Jack when he was on during the first hour with us, is they lean so much on their leadership group. I mean, the guys that were on that Super Bowl team 5 years ago, the guys that have been there, that had done that. I mean, think about it this way. They didn't go undefeated, obviously, but they legitimately only lost two games that season. Two. Kansas City and Seattle. That's all they lost the whole entire season. These guys know what it's like to come close to perfection in that level of being, even though they lost in week two and later on after a 9-game winning streak. These guys know that they have to keep their foot on the gas all times. They know what it's like to be the hunted instead of being the prey. And they're not going to sit there and allow these guys on the team that weren't here 5 years ago to sit there and say, listen, we're smelling ourselves. We don't need to improve on things. And then it starts at the top with the head coach, because I believe in Nick Sirianni. I think he is a great head football coach. Spud said this last week. He thinks he's a great head football coach in the making. And right now we're seeing how he is as a leader. And because if you see some of the clips today's show about him talking to his team, it's insane because everything is always about going 1-0 that week and being better that week. He is a great leader of men, and this team is in great hands with him and the leadership group that they have in the locker room.
The one thing I'll say about the defense is that I do think the defense, and we have to still talk about the Cowboys because we're still talking about the NFC East, but I do think the defense will get better and better. I mean, CJ's only been there for a few weeks.
And that's a scary thought, right, Dave?
The secondary is going to come together. You know, there's still some young pieces that really haven't. Like, Jordan Davis is going to get a lot better. Nakobe Dean is going to have a role in this defense. There's still a lot this defense can do to improve. So I feel like, look, the offense has played just breathtaking football at times, but the defense has been climbing, getting better, getting better, getting better, getting better, doing it just the way you want it.
I said week eight.
I think a part of the humility of this team is the fact they know they're good, but they don't know how good they are. Does that make sense?
I love that statement.
They do know they're good.
Yeah, because you can see that in how they play. They play with confidence. It carries over offense and defense. They know they're good, but the thing about that keeps them humble is they don't know how good they really are, and that keeps them chippy. That keeps them paranoid. That helps them to stay focused on the fact that, okay, let's just play one game at a time, and let's not worry about the next play. Let's play this play, and as we do that, we'll get wins, and we'll just chip away at the season.
You have to take a step back and dissect this defense for a hot second and realize that, yeah, you're right. Games are won in the trenches. However, our trenches, the defensive line trench, was always at its best when our secondary was formidable.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody could have expected Gardner Johnson to come in and play the way he has almost immediately. And again, you know,
you like that guy.
I
really
do.
Like him.
Well, I mean, I don't know how he's not defensive player of the week last week.
CJ G-Tech.
All right. Seriously. Two interceptions against a division rival? Anyway, when your secondary is that good, it gives your trench a little bit more time to get to the quarterback.
To get there, that's right.
It all piles on top, and man, it's just fun. It's just fun to watch right now. It's just fun to, it's like a Buddy Ryan defense. Or that defense we had in the early 2000s that was so opportunistic. You know, for a while, we didn't get to see that.
Right.
We didn't get to see a defense that was so, at any point in time, that ball's coming out. And that just
wasn't. What
about
the Juan Castillo defense?
Yeah, let's go with that. But we'll talk about that on our final segment when we come back and give away the signed Lane Johnson jersey from our friends at Anheuser-Busch. Everybody, Bud Light Night here at Center Bar, South Philly Live Casino. Irving Fryer, Dave Spadaro, Super Sam, Chris Sack, / intern Laura and myself, Quimby. We will be back on the Green Legion Radio Players Show for our final segment right after this. Guys, Green Legion Radio Players Show with / Sack Spuds and his Bud Light, Super Sam, the legendary Irving Fryer, intern Laura, and Laura. We're going to give away a signed Lane Johnson jersey right now. Compliments of our friends at Bud Light, which, by the way, we're still buying Bud Light at the bar for anybody that wants. All right, who's spinning? Let's go. Let's do it now.
I have so many
applications for this right now. It's great.
Great for radio.
It's all good.
It's wonderful.
What's the name?
Lance T.
Berkman.
Lance Romance.
P as in Paul.
Lance P.
Wait, where is he? Where's going once.
Hold on.
Lance Storm.
Well, give him a second.
Laura, don't walk away quite
yet. He's probably on the blackjack table.
Lance P. Going once. Going twice. Laura, back up. Love you. Mean it. Come on.
Yeah, but you got to wait. This might take a little bit, you know.
All right, here we go. One more time.
One more time.
He left us. He left. That was brutal. Did you hear Lauren?
Yeah, it was awful.
He left us.
He left us.
He left us.
Maria C.
Maria.
Maria C. All right.
Maria Nosi.
Maria Nosi.
All right, you guys, come down. We're not going to do this the entire time because I got a story to talk about. Lauren and Laura, I want you guys to get the next name and come up to me when we have a second. So go down with her so she can confirm. You guys, Ron Jaworski's $100,000 football challenge here at Live Casino Philly. Go to livecasinophilly.com. Compete against Jaws for picks and tickets to the big game. Taco Tuesdays. Happy hour at Sports and Social every Monday through Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m. $4 domestics, $4 Bud Lights, $5 cocktails, $6 wines, half price appetizers. Guys, I want to tell you about a situation that you cannot script. The Philadelphia Eagles play the Houston Texans once every 8 years in their house.
Mm-hmm.
On a Thursday night this year, while our hotel, the Magnolia Hotel, right across the street from Minute Maid Park,
formerly known as Enron.
Zach is so happy.
Enron.
And a Friday night while we are there, which is a potential game 6 for the World Series between the Phillies and the Astros. How the hell does that take place?
You're going to see them win the World Series that Friday night.
Dave.
So the level of, like, ticket requests that I've gotten. Hey, Dave, I'm going to be... do you have any contacts with the Phillies? I'm going to be in Houston for the Eagles game. I'm
people
stay
you haven't
night.
Talked to in, like,
oh,
30 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Family members he never knew existed.
I wish... And so
whose holiday letter you don't even read anymore.
I wish I could help. I can't. But it's great. I mean, again, it goes back to what Zach started the show with a couple of hours ago. Sports means so much to people in Philly. And it's a special time to bring Eagles fans and Phillies fans together, which is the same people, on you want tickets to the Houston Texans Eagles game. Now that's an easy one. But Eagles and Astros, no chance.
Keenan Harmon, Houston. You got a problem.
Houston.
With a capital P.
I don't know. I don't believe that Phillies fans will infiltrate that ballpark.
Oh, you are absolutely
out of your mind.
No.
You could fly down to Houston right now and get a ticket to that game for less than you could buy a ticket for here.
Yes, you can.
Incorrect.
Yeah, no, that's correct.
Houston's
going to be wrong.
Actually, he's accurate. Round trip tickets over those 4 days are over $2,000.
Oh, because the tickets are so high, the airfare is so high. Yes.
Yeah.
He's talking about the actual tickets.
By the way, the Green Legion has one spot left.
Yeah. That's secondary market.
The Green Legion has one spot left on its Houston trip. You want to go?
No, I can't. I got to work. Got to work.
Being a bastard. Dude.
All right, I'm there.
What do you do?
I don't have to work Friday. I don't have to work Friday. Let's talk about it after the show.
Hold on. Let's talk about it now.
I could stay after the Eagles game. And go to the Phillies game? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't have a ticket for the Phillies game, but I'm sure you can bill for that.
He stands outside the stadium and yells.
Well, actually, Dave, you know what?
No, we're good.
I would be happy to take you with the tickets I have.
I would rather give that to somebody who it matters way more to.
I'm sorry, you matter way more to me than anybody here.
That's so exciting. I'm so
thanks.
I'm sorry, the rest of you don't suck, but Dave's kind of on a high level.
We'll talk about this over a Bud Light after the show.
Thank you, Slash. My man, Slash.
Make sure you guys, Bud Light at the bar on us.
Alabama right Golf Rocks.
Wow.
Too much hate going on in here.
RTJ.
That's right.
So let's talk about predictions for this Texans game.
No, for the Steelers are first.
It's just the topic we were on. The Steelers we've already talked about.
Yeah, we didn't.
Can we harp on
that
a little bit
actually,
more?
Actually, we're not going to talk about next
week. We won't have an opportunity to talk about. We will not be here next week, you guys. Tuesday night is a home game, World Series.
Game four.
This stage will be used for something more productive than us. So let's give our predictions right now for the Texans game. Dave, you start.
Well, I mean, first of all, I always think the Eagles are going to win, so why would you even, like, ask? Eagles will beat the Texans. How about that?
Great. Good start.
Okay, thank you.
Preseason, I think I picked the Eagles to beat the Texans. Did I not?
How about the Steelers?
I would hope so.
Well, the Steelers, I mean, that's...
Diaz was the only one to pick them to
lose.
I don't
look ahead because I saw... Right. I watched last night's game
where
the Bears annihilated the Patriots. And I think it's so dangerous.
That was so much fun.
The Eagles are, look, history will tell you that there's going to be a stumble somewhere.
I don't think there's going to be a stumble like people are thinking. They will have a game where they're not quite on cue, but I don't think it's going to be a stub your toe.
Nobody's going to be on me
that?
At all.
Just because of the type of athletes they have and the cohesiveness and what I see that's happening on the field, I just don't. I mean, there's going to be lulls. You've seen some lulls. That's what's going to happen. You're going to see lulls like that, but they're going to continue, I think, to persevere and push through. They're not going to have a game where they just totally fall apart. Now Pittsburgh's only been scoring less than 16 points.
Hey, we're not on Pittsburgh.
He asked me about Pittsburgh.
I asked about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he asked about Pittsburgh.
I don't like to look ahead. I'm really superstitious.
And real quick, where's Rich B? Where's Rich B? Rich B, my man. You are going to drown in that jersey, but it's yours. Lauren, go give it to him. Lave Johnson, sign your
name. All right,
Rich.
He gets a selfie with Spuds and signed Lane Johnson jersey. This is the best night of his life.
There you go.
He might as well go gamble.
So the only team that Pittsburgh has played this year that is equivalent or is comparable to the Eagles is Buffalo. And Buffalo spanked them. It was 38-3. So Pittsburgh I don't think they have what it takes. They're not together. Defensively, yes, they're all right, but we've been able to handle good defenses. So I think the Eagles are going to handle this team, Pittsburgh, very easily.
You always have to remember, you know, we're talking about a running back core that consists of Miles Sanders, Kenny Gainwell, Boston Scott, Trey Sermon, in that order.
Right.
But you're not talking about one of your best running backs on the team, which is your quarterback, Jalen Hurts.
Right, right.
And that was the reason why the Cardinals gave us so much trouble, because Kyler Murray is that mobile. When you have that, it's so unpredictable.
It's a short week to prepare for a very unusual running attack. That's the challenge the Steelers are going to have. And
they're going to be in trouble.
The Steelers are going to be – look, the Eagles have to be patient again and understand that, as we talked about earlier, Irv, Pittsburgh's not coming in here and scoring, knock on wood, 35 points. So as long as you don't give them short fields, as long as you don't...
Special teams.
I believe in Britton Covey, so I'm going big on Britton Covey. I just feel like, I mean, if the Eagles just come out and set the tone early in the game, this is just not going to be a contest.
Right.
You want to know what's going to happen over the next week in Philadelphia sports. The Phillies are going to split in Houston. Then the Eagles are going to trounce all over the Steelers. The Phillies are going to win 2 out of 3 against the Astros at home. Eagles are going to handle the Texans in Houston, and then the Phillies are going to win the 3rd World Series title in franchise history on Friday night in Game 6. It's going to be another banner week for Philadelphia sports. It's going to be a great time. Here's a stat for you. This is for Justin Verlander, lovers everywhere. He's made 7 career starts in the World Series, 4 with Houston, 3 with Detroit, 38 innings pitched. He's 0-6 with a 5.68 ERA, 24 earned runs, 35 hits, and a 1.289 whip. Prepare to be my bitch next week, bro.
Yay!
So, Zach.
And then he goes home to what?
What's going
to
happen to
you? He goes home to Kate Upton. That's a damn good life to live. Yeah.
So what's going to happen to you when all that happens? What are you going to be doing when all that happens?
I will be somewhere.
He will be impossible to live with.
Yep. Inconsolable.
No
yes,
way.
If you've seen that Ric Flair, the
two claps and a Ric Flair.
Yeah, pretty much.
Woo!
If you've seen that clip on Twitter over the last couple of weeks, I'm going to be more unbearable. dead serious?
We already know.
I could die a happy man that night if the Phillies bring it home. Let's do it, man. We're here. We're still dancing on our own. Let's have a damn good time this next week. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
Sam.
Q, what was your prediction for the Texans?
Pain.
Was that a loss?
You have it as a loss.
I thought Dion
That's impossible because I said they went, I said they were going 7-1 and they were going to lose to Minnesota. Yeah,
Quimby was drunk on Bud Lights that night. That's the reason why he predicted that.
Okay.
So. I had Pittsburgh as a loss. I know that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I'm going to flip that around.
We were kind of hand in hand there for a while.
I think it was after the Pittsburgh game.
Okay.
To be honest with you, the only one winning right now, unfortunately, is Diaz. Because he had him undefeated through week 8.
But Diaz has the Texans as a loss.
That's his first loss. He has him going 7-0 and then losing to Houston.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, let's go. It's a short week. The Sixers are going
to
be playing.
I also want to point out that I had to talk Sack off the ledge after that performance
in
San Diego.
Yeah, I meant to send this in the group text thread. Did anybody see the glare off of Diaz's forehead? Like, dude, look at this. Look at this. When he was at the Sixers game with Abby. Look at that thing.
Is that Ash Wednesday? What is that?
Please tell me. I wasn't the only one to notice that.
You guys start those.
Look at that thing.
You guys start those thread text messages at the wrong time. I was at a funeral and my phone's going.
Does he have an assassin on him?
Bring it down. 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 That looks like Vision from Marvel with an Infinity Stone. You guys, all right, let's call it a day. What do you say, Jansen?
Like Barney was about to perform an act on it.
Time to call this?
Barney.
Everybody, first, thanks to our host and sponsor, Live Casino, here in South Philadelphia.
All right. Great crowd tonight.
As well.
Tables are packed.
Our sponsors from Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light, for dumping on top of what we were already given, 200 brewskis. Legendary Eagles wide receiver, Irving Fryer, Super Sam, host of your Philadelphia Eagles Insider Podcast, Mr. Dave Spadaro,
hello.
Host of your Big Time Baseball Brunch with Greg Murphy.
Let's go, Phil!
Mr. Chris Sack, / intern Lauren, Tom and Alexis coming back.
All right,
hold
thank you.
Tight with us.
Ooh, thanks cigars.
Thanks to everybody.
That's a smart man.
And Jack Driscoll.
My name, and Jack Driscoll, of course. Thank you. I was getting here.
Fantastic again this year.
Yeah, absolutely. My name's Quimby. This is Green Legion Radio Player Show. We will be live from Xfinity Live at 9 a.m. on Sunday before the Steelers game. Make sure you check us out down there or here on Fox Sports Radio 102.5 FM Philadelphia. Everybody, go Birds, go Phils!
Go Birds, go Phils!
We're out.